You can start your commitment also. Amen. Well, this is class number one, Book of Romans. Look at that number very carefully, because you won't be seeing that one again after a little. All right. Book of Romans, turn to Romans 5. I want to start in Romans 5 so that we can say we got somewhere. Actually, I'm just going to read a verse out of chapter 5 to kick us off here. But something that I said the other night in our prep for this semester for the Bible school students, this class of the Book of Romans, I'm not going to be teaching it in the manner that I have in the past, and I've taught it bunches of times and taught out of Romans many, many times, but I'm going to be taking a different approach. However, there are places where you can get the regular teaching online is Mallory's teaching on the Book of Romans. Somewhere in an archive in a dingy abandoned warehouse is my teachings on it. Yes. The Book of Romans? They don't even need this class except for... No. Yeah, I know. I'm not looking for it. I've never taken the class, actually. I've taught it, but never taken it. And also, one that I recommend if you've never read, and it's not specifically trying to be about the Book of Romans, but it's Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life, which is one of those classics that everybody should read. But God has shown me a pattern. And, you know, that pattern, I believe, is the Book of Romans, but he didn't first show it to me in Romans. He showed it to me in some different places. And you know, some of them are mentioned up here, but... those different places, I call them settings in the Bible, it is so important to know the different settings and the different stories, even if it seems like, well, what is this all about, or what does this mean, or whatever. It is so important because the Holy Spirit just uses that stuff all the time for me and will for those who know the Scriptures. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, but the Holy Spirit's the one who comes and reveals Christ. And so this pattern is common, but I don't think that it is seen so clearly in the Book of Romans. I think it is only partially seen in the Day of Atonement. I don't think it's seen at all in the fall of Adam and Eve. I don't think it's seen at all in its fullness anyway, in the captivity, Judah's captivity in Babylon, which that's what captivity there represents. I even wonder how much it's seen in relationship to the cross, but that's, I think, maybe a little easier for us. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to go over these patterns. We're going to look at them. We're going to see these settings, and so we're going to see the pattern there that the Lord has. And we're going to see that there's a template of God's mind that you lay over the Day of Atonement or the captivity or the cross, that you lay over these things that I've got written on the chalkboard. And we're going to see a similar thing, and yet I don't know that we've always seen that pattern so clearly to be laid over almost anything in the Word. And if we get that, if we see that, one thing's for sure, we're going to understand the book of Romans a whole lot better. And it's going to take me, you know, a little while here to get through the patterns and the different settings. But my hope and my joy would be to get to a certain portion after we've laid the pattern and after we've seen it in these settings, to show it in Romans and then get to a certain portion of Romans where it brings out probably the biggest, most important thing to the heart of God in this thing that we call atonement. And the book of Romans is about atonement, but it's not just atonement in our minds. Many times is just this small thing: Jesus died to save me from my sins. And I think we're going to really get a very wide example of atonement as you know, if the book of Romans is basically about atonement, then we're going to get a big wide view of that that will open us up in the Day of Atonement. And you know, somebody says, well, why are we going to so many Old Testament places? Well, there's a reason for that. Keep your place here in Rome. Well, you know what? Let's read one verse here real quick. In fact, let's read two verses. Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And I'm reading out of the King James here. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. My Scofield translates that reconciliation, but the King James says the atonement. And so why do we, you know, look in places in the Old Testament and everything? Well, first of all, all of that was written of Christ. And people don't believe that. They don't see that. They just say, well, no, I can read the Gospels and it's talking about Jesus. But the Gospels is not talking about Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. It is talking, yes, it's at the end of it, it's talking about the physical death, the physical burial, the physical resurrection. But the Gospels are not talking about what the epistles put forth, that we died with Christ. It doesn't say that in the Gospels. It doesn't say that we're risen in Christ, that when he was raised, we're raised. You find that in the epistles and what all is written after that. So, keeping your place here, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 3, and I've alluded to this in some other teaching, but it was very powerful to me. Hebrews chapter 3, and much of the writer of the Hebrews' way of instructing is going back to the Old Testament. Okay, well, we understand that. That's nothing new to anybody. But in this third chapter, the Lord really opened my eyes. So we're going to start at verse 7. We might read all the way down. And then I'm going to make my comment. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear his voice. Okay, well, I'm not going to wait to comment at the end. I lied. I'm going to comment now on that. And that is, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about him talking in the Old Testament. Okay? But he's talking to us here also. He's using this as speaking to us. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if you will hear his voice. And he is using these words for us, okay, but it's even a little more than that. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to this test, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and saith, they do always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you of evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. He's talking to the people that he's writing to at that time as if they're in the wilderness. As if they are in the wilderness. And here's the interesting thing that got me being a pastor. If you see problems, the normal way a pastor proceeds is if you see problems in a church and God tells you to deal with it, then you stand up and let's say there's some things going on or something, then you start talking about those things and you say, no, well, we shouldn't do that and, and you start talking and you don't have any thought at all to a pattern in the Old Testament. And this guy is talking as if, look, you're wilderness wanderers. You're the people having the problems. He's not really calling out their particular sins and saying it's wrong. He's calling out a pattern of certain way, and not just sin, but unbelief and hardening your heart when the Holy Spirit speaks and stuff like that. And so you realize that these writers, so many times, they saw so much of the Lord in the Old Testament that they saw the Old Testament not just as a former book that was helpful at one time, but now it's outdated or something like that. They talked, when they saw things in the today, they talked as if, you're this. Well, that's, I don't know if you can catch that. I mean, it was mind-blowing to me. And again, being a pastor, it's like, okay, if you have a problem, then you point at that person, you say, you have a problem, and here's what your problem is, and you need to quit doing that. But the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're part of something that's always been. And all you're doing is manifesting what was. And I'm not going to deal with you. I'm going to show you God's word. And I'm going to put you in the category of the people that were doing that at that time. So we read the Bible and we go, well, those stupid people, bunch of wilderness wanderers, they shouldn't have been doing all that kind of stuff, No wonder they spent 40 years out there and whatever. And God's saying, he's not just saying you're a wilderness wanderer, he's saying you are them. You're them. That's why I'm not talking about you and your situation and, well, this happened and there's that and there's this. And I mean, couldn't he, the writer of Hebrews, couldn't he have done that? Couldn't he have said, boy, you guys got all kind of problems. Let me just name them off. And he never mentions them, except he mentions them in relationship to the wilderness wanderers. And boom, the Spirit of God showed me that. It wasn't just Randy blabbing it. I blab it, you grab it. But rather, it was a realization that God had laid, I'll even say it like this, because it's been 2,000 years and longer, 4,000, 6,000 years, God has laid ancient patterns that we are ignorant of in modern day Christianity, and we just go, well, Jesus just came to make Christians. We have no clue of what we are or of what we're to become or of the pattern. And so we figure out through the book of Romans, well, Jesus died and then he got up and then we're going to live now. And, that's not the fulfillment of what God all had in his mind. And in this pattern, they all have this final element that I'm excited to get into, Lord willing, that starting at a certain juncture in the book of Romans, it starts laying out what God always intended. And each of these patterns in each of these places and in others, there is within that pattern a return to all that God originally intended that they never really got in the first place. All right. So, all right, I tell you what, let's go back to Romans, but I want to give you a couple of scriptures. Everybody got a Bible? All right, I may have more scriptures than people, but what I'd like for you to do is when I give you a scripture to look it up, and then when I call on you to come up here and read the scriptures. I'm doing this so I don't have to look up the scriptures and read them. I'm also doing this so that in many years from now, when the world has turned dark and only this video remains, you will remember. You will see yourself there and remember. You will call down the former years and you will cry. Anyway, okay, praise God. Let's see. Kelly, you open for this? Okay, Deuteronomy 32:7. Lindsay, are you going to be able to do this? Okay, Psalm 44:1. Mallory, Psalm 77:5. Caitlin, Psalm 78:2. Jim, Psalm 143:5. Patty, Isaiah 25:1. Sure. Isaiah 25:1. Mike, Isaiah 43:18. Joseph, Isaiah 46:9. Deb, Jeremiah 31:3. All right. Pardon? Jeremiah 31:3. Okay. What? Oh, yeah. You mean for shorter people? Oh, okay, Kelly, you're up.
Remember, this is Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee.
Okay, what do you get from that?
That there are things, like you said, ancient patterns, ancient paths, that those who have known the Lord and gone before us can guide us into. Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old.
Yes.
Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show. Ooh, that's good. I didn't say. Okay. Ask thy father, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee.
Amen. Okay. So basically, he's saying there are ancient mysteries, ancient patterns, paths, and he's saying, ask. If you're following my teaching on the God who hides himself, I think you've already got the newsletter for this month, and in there, one of the verses in Isaiah 45 is, ask God concerning his sons, concerning the work of his hands, his sons. And folks, in so many of these things, we just expect God to teach us or do something. Learn to ask. He's your Father. Learn to talk to God like he's real. Just fake it for a while. You know, just try acting like he's real for, you know. But he is. And he wants to hear our hearts and he wants to see our hunger. Amen?
Yeah.
Lindsay? I guess, well.
This is Psalm 44, verse 1. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that thou didst in their days, in the days of old.
Read it one more time.
O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, the work that thou didst in their days, in the days of old.
So remembering that this is the days of old and the stuff he did. This is what Hebrews and Romans, and that's what they're bringing up, is this stuff. And they're wanting us to find our reality, not here, but there. Our identity, not here, meaning right here in this room or what's going on in our life, but there. And it's just incredible if we grasp the heart of God and his approach in these things. Mallory?
Psalm 77:5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times.
Wow, I mean, is that good or what? Mm-hmm. Read it again.
I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times.
All right, now in what manner is this consideration going on? Is he considering going, well, I heard what they did and I don't want to mess up? Or do we see that we're being clumped with them because of a certain spirit and way, and that we want to be, you know, Joshua or Caleb? But we don't just consider, oh, I considered that book or I considered that chapter. But in what context? He's saying, consider those ancient things of old for you now to bring those into consideration. Caitlin?
I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. And that was Psalm 78:2. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old.
Okay. Now, we can assume that the dark sayings are something that's dark and scary. But I think that the meaning there is that they are hidden things that are hidden. We would say hidden in the dark, but certainly out from view, out from our understanding. But it is that which, I don't even know how to say this, it takes us out of our little life and our little realm, and it says, find yourself the way God sees you. Find yourself in the patterns of eternal life. Find yourself outside of just trying to get God to patch your life up down here and find out how he really wants to move. And I'm telling you, Romans is one incredible book along those lines, and so are all of these other stories. The Day of Atonement, and to discover it in light of Romans or in light of these other things, also comparing and taking them and moving in them. The captivity also. Jim?
This is Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands. Yeah. Okay. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy doings. I muse on the work of thy hands.
You know, before it just said there are those ancient things of God. Then it started saying ask about them. Then it started saying, you know, and then it built up to I will meditate on those things of old. And again, it's not the last Caitlin read was to consider. This is talking about meditating now, and it's talking about taking it in, musing on it, that those things, take it as more than history, take it as more than Old Testament Bible stories. Take it as within there, whether you see the dark things or not, whether you see the hidden mysteries there or the patterns, the eternal pathways of God, meditate. And, you know, I know it's going to sound stupid, but show God that you care. And care about what, you know? Not that you care about the ancient paths per se, that you care about the way it read from Jim, that these are things of God. They're things of his heart. They're things that are eternal. And that's why God doesn't just say, well, I'm just going to, every generation, every time a generation comes along, I'm going to write a new Bible. You know what I mean? And say, okay, you know, now here's what they did when they wandered in the wilderness. But in 2015, here's what they did, and here's who was that was doing it. And, you know, and here's where they missed it. And this is a record book of all the failures of the idiots of the world that ever existed. No, he doesn't do that. No. He says, I'm not going to keep rewriting the thing. Here's the pattern here. Find it. Find out how I move on that. Because, you know, even the wilderness wandering, folks, that is part of, I mean, see, I can't put all of the places where this pattern shows up, but it's the same pattern. It's the same pattern forever and ever and ever. Because, as I said, when we say the word pattern, we should think the eternal pathways of God. How he goes. Have you ever read a scripture that says, I want to know how the Lord goes? You know, I want to know the ways of the Lord. This is it, see? He's not going to rewrite everything for our lives. He's going to show us that he doesn't have to. We're already that. He's not stuck in time. We live in time and go, well, I need to make it count here, you know. But the way to make it count here is to find his eternal pathways. And it's like, you know, somebody said, well, do you believe in predestination? And I said, yes and no. Oh, they said, do you believe in predestination or free will? And I said, yes and no, you know, and yes, and also no and no, you know. But I believe it's like a train station. If you get on that train and it's headed to a certain destination, if you get on that train, it'll get you there. The train is predestined, not you. You understand? But if you get on that train, it's going to arrive at the point that it said on the thing. You've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. You've been to be made sons of God. So, yes, if you'll get on the train. But free will is also a factor that says, well, I'm not going to get on that train. I'm just going to believe that God's going to, you know, do me right. Do, you know, he's going to make me a son just because I'm so lovable. Yeah. I appreciate all the groans going on out there. But that train of predestination, read it, Ephesians 1, planned, set up, predestined before the foundation of the world. It's an ancient path. It's an ancient path. And we're still digging around trying to understand it for us today based on our life and stuff. That and everything else, you know. All right, who's, yes.
Solo tengo español. I hope I got the right one. Jehová, tú eres mi Dios, te exaltaré, alabaré tu nombre, porque has hecho maravillas. Tus consejos antiguos son verdad y firmeza.
Okay. Read it slowly again.
Jehová, tú eres mi Dios.
The Lord is my what?
You're my God. Tú eres mi Dios.
Okay, go ahead.
Te exaltaré.
We exalt you.
Alabaré tu nombre.
And praise your name.
Porque tú.
Because you.
Has hecho.
Have done.
Maravillas.
Marvelous.
Tus consejos antiguos. Marvelously.
Okay, to your counsels are ancient.
Son verdad y firmeza.
They are. The truth, what's the last part?
Firmeza, stable.
Firm.
Yeah, firm, trustworthy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Muy bien. Yeah.
I'm totally shocked myself. But when you were reading, I went, hey, I think I can do this. It's good practice for me, although I never get a chance to practice. And so now this person, you know, it's like all of these scriptures are one person on a progression. Can you see it? And now this person is just like into it. They're not like, well, I'll ask the Lord for dark saying, all this stuff, you know, like, okay, Lord, you know. It's like, you are marvelous. Your name is marvelous. You do marvelously, you know, and just exploding with this reality of these ancient paths that are God or God's, and they are His, but these paths are different than any old path. These paths demonstrate Him. Hallelujah. You can know Him by His paths, and when that's what Romans is. You know, you can know Him by these paths, or you can just know other paths that aren't eternal, that are not ancient. And you have to understand, these things are ancient because God is the Ancient of Days. And you have to understand that they may not, you know, I mean, they were enacted in these Old Testament stories. But when we receive them today, we go, oh, this is brand new for us Christians. We get the good stuff. This is brand new for us. It's not brand new. It's ancient because He's the Ancient of Days. And we find out who He is through this. And I'm telling you, whatever we would share in Romans, it would not mean near as much as it's going to when we start showing this pattern. And you go, oh my God. And by the time we get to Romans, that template should be laid by the Day of Atonement. It should be laid by the captivity. And then we'll be brought up later as we get into Romans and other stories. But should be laid so that you can lay that over the book of Romans as if the whole book were laid out, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down, and laid over it. And you go, I see it. I see the book of Romans. I see the pattern. It is the same pattern because it is the same God. It is the same ancient path. Okay, Mike?
Is it 43:18,
yeah. Why, did you find a better one?
No.
Because you're sure welcome to read it.
I was thinking, well, I'm in trouble because my translator just left. Because I don't know exactly what this is saying. This is Spanish.
You're reading it in Spanish.
Yeah, I don't have my Bible. I'm cheating.
Your wife speaks Spanish. You speak Spanish. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. There's a couple of words in here. I'm not sure how this is going. No os acordéis de las cosas pasadas, ni traigáis a memoria las cosas antiguas. Now, I think it's saying... Somebody, it's something like I didn't bring it to remembrance the former things, or bring it to remembrance... Well, I didn't remember. No, you didn't remember the things past, nor bring it to memory the right. Ancient things.
Okay, so let me read it in English, and I'm gonna read the verse after it. It says, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let me make sure that's the one. 43. Yeah, it should. Well, it should. Because it has stepped out of the old covenant patterns, as it were, and he has made it new now. It is real now. It is springing forth now. It's not just an ancient path. It is living now. And God will, you know, Jesus said at the very end of the Bible, he says, "Behold, look at this. I make all things new." And every time he appears, it's new, but it's ancient, but it springs forth as new. It's, you know, and we no longer just go, "Oh, this is an ancient path and I've discovered it." No, we're not some sort of new age people. We say, but it is new every morning. It is a new path for me and it is a new reality to me. And I'm entering in. Yes, you saw it. Okay, let's just look at my little chart here. Yes, I saw it, the ancient paths in the Day of Atonement. Yes, I saw the ancient path in the Babylonian captivity. But now, it is new to me right now in Christ crucified. And the Spirit of God wants to quicken that instead of just, you know, it just being, you know, I mean, these, you know, Day of Atonement, captivity... I could probably ask you right now, you know, some of you, just point to you and say, "Now come up here and tell me what this is about." And you can go, "Well, you know, it has to do with this, and then that, and then this." Okay, well, now show me the ancient path in there. What? You know, show me the ancient pathways of God, the eternal pathways of God. And okay, but that's where we come back to some of the other scriptures. We ask of him, not the stories. We know the stories. We ask of him the pathways, the pattern. Yes, Mallory? Yeah, if you'll come up here.
It says that we're going to walk in his ways. We walk in his paths and he teaches us of his ways. It's over in Isaiah 2. But the one I was really thinking of with reference to ancient and now new, mm-hmm. This is 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you." That's what makes it new.
That's it.
The old always was. If it's new, it's true in him and in me. That's right. Exactly what you're saying. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So.
Oh, that's good. 1 John 2, 7 and 8. Sorry, that's not the same one. Okay, Joseph, you got one?
Isaiah
46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse starts on one page and ends on another. Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me.
Interesting wording. Remember, as he points to something ancient, remember the ancient past, for I am God. He's not saying, because I'm the boss. That's not what he's saying. You know, he's saying, because that's me. That's who I am. For I am God. There is none other. That's, you know, Isaiah 45 in my newsletter really gets into that a lot too, where he keeps pointing, in this case, to the God who hides himself. And then he says, for I am the Lord. I am God, and there is none other. In other words, quit looking everywhere else. This is who I am. And you find that when he does that, God's not just sitting up there on a throne going, you know, I'm the boss, and I'm going to say this a lot, for I am God, and, you know. And everybody goes, yeah, say it again, you know. No, he's trying to communicate something eternal. He's trying to communicate something inclusive. You consider those paths. I am God, and we will be one in this. But, you know, no, just study. It's good for you. That's not what he's saying. Well, that's not, you know, just go read it. It'll be good. It'll help your reading skills. You know, I hope he's got a little more zip than that. Deb, you ready?
Jeremiah. Whoop, I think I turned my page.
31:3.
The Lord hath appeared unto me. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Read it again.
The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And then
there's, you have another?
This one here.
Yeah, that kind of breaks the flow of what I'm hitting here. All right, so the Lord says to this person who may be going through something, feeling unloved or something, and says, for I have appeared to you of old. Okay? Now, we can say, I've already said this. You know, God's saying, I've already said this to you. I'm not going to say it again. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I have appeared in these old patterns, and this is where you're going to discover that I have loved thee, and I will draw thee with my loving kindnesses. And you'll see that as we get into these different ones right on down until we go through Romans. You're going to see that this is all about that kind of love and what the atonement really is, ultimately, all across the board and all that it covers. And we're going to see that that verse is exactly what's in his heart. He's going to say, if you have seen these patterns of old, you will know that I have loved thee with and drawn thee with an everlasting love. Not just in contrast to us going, Lord, appear to me again and tell me you love me. Please. you know. Or, Lord, you know, I remember that you told me you loved me back when I was a hippie a long time ago. So I'm going to draw from that, and I'm going to believe it because you said it, and I don't. I'm not going to get forgetful or lose the feeling of it ever because I've already done that. For the life of me, I can't remember how that went. Remember, in contrast to the ancient patterns, the ancient paths of God, that is the way of God that he cannot go against. He cannot go against. All right. Well, I had a few more, but I didn't want to run y'all all through the gauntlet again. But thank you for reading, and yes, sure, out loud right now. Yeah, of course, pen in hand. Anyone who would like these references, they are Deuteronomy 32:7. Oh, I want you to notice a pattern when I go through these. Okay, see if you can see the pattern. Psalm 44:1. Oh, let that. You see, the Lord came down on that one. It's no problem. Unless it's, you know, if it's not Jesus, though, you better hang up. Oh, thank God. Hey, could you put it on, if it's Jesus, could you put it on speakerphone for us? Oh, okay. Next one, Psalm 77:5. Next one, Psalm 78:2. Next one, Psalm 143:5. Is that the Mother Mary now? 143:5. Mike had a hard time with that one, too. Isaiah 25:1. No, his was in Isaiah. Sorry. Isaiah 43:18. Isaiah 46:9. Jeremiah 31:3. And I'm going to give you three that I haven't read yet. Lamentations 2:17. Lamentations 5:21 and Malachi 3:4. All right, up beginning with Kelly's reading all the way through Deb's, but just the pattern, not in what has been said, but in the scriptures that I gave you. Did anybody see a pattern, any kind of pattern, in the script, just the reading of the scriptures out to you? Anybody notice a pattern? Okay, well, let's try this. Did anybody notice, apart from this now, stepping back to what we did before, did anyone notice, and I'd said it and alluded to it, and some of you already nodded, but did anyone notice that there was a progression in these scriptures as it seemed like a person was growing and going? Okay, so, yes. I'm progressing through scriptures. I never went back to one, or they're all right in order of the scriptures. Never going back, because the scriptures are proceeding, bringing us along. Isn't that interesting? All right, but now we're in the book of Lamentations, so let's cry. Okay, Lamentations 2:17 says, "The Lord hath done that which he had purposed. He hath fulfilled the word that he had commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down and he hath not pitied, And he hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee. He hath set up the horn of thine adversaries. All right. The captivity. Are we in the right place? Okay. Now let's go over to Lamentations 5:21. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Okay. Lamentations is, yeah, it's awesome. It is so this area of pattern. And the scriptures that we read over in chapter 2, and then this cry, this incredible cry, this lamentation, this cry out, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days, not as some sort of new, let's just call it like this, not like some new beginning, but like that which is renewed in that old pattern, that ancient pattern that worked for the people that believed it and walked in it every generation. And it'll become new to us, just like the scriptures Mallory read and others. All right, so just to kind of put a seal on this now, let's go to Proverbs 4:18. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you can read it later. Proverbs 4:18. 18. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is like the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. All right, well, what is the perfect day? This has also been translated, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the noonday. Okay, so that's the progression. The sun starts coming up. What do you get? You get some light. As it climbs, you get more. The path of the righteous is like that light that is rising until the noonday when it's at its strength overhead, and when it is noonday at its strength overhead, there are no shadows. Everything is in the light of the sun. Okay, so there is this progression. There is this God who created the sun and the earth, who created the paths of the earth and the sun and the moon, and created a path that in such a manner when men were in darkness, eventually, right on time, right at the right time, always on time. You understand what I'm trying to say? The sun starts coming up. You don't see the fullness of it, but you see light. And the more and more you go into that day, you see that? I'm going into the day. It's, you know, it's actually not you walking, but it is you going into the day more and more. And the result of that is the light gets brighter and higher until the perfect day, until the fullness, until the noonday when all the shadows are gone and all is in the strength of the sun now and nothing is seen in shadow land. All right. All right, let me just read these couple of sentences here, two sentences. We're going to see how there is a progression from the first pattern to the last. And when we say, actually it's from the first setting, from the Day of Atonement is the main one we'll deal with. And then we'll deal with captivity. And then we'll deal with the cross. And we'll actually pull in some others within the scope of our sharing in the book of Romans. But what we're going to see is that there are, in the early light rising. And the first real pattern is the fall, and it is the same pattern. But I'm not going to go to that one yet. I'm going to save that one for when we get clearly in the book of Romans so that you can see where that one fits in. Day of Atonement, you're going to see light. You're going to see things that, you know, as it fits into the pattern, but you're not going to see the full pattern, or let's put it this way, you're not going to understand the full pattern because you don't see it in the fullness of light. Okay, so as we go into the day, we'll move into the captivity. And the captivity is going to bring out many of the things that was not seen in the Day of Atonement. It's going to enlighten certain things that were there in the Day of Atonement, but were seen, darkly as in a glass, like it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so the captivity is going to enlighten, and the sun is going to rise more and more, and we're going to see, it's the same pattern, but we're going to see elements that we maybe didn't notice early on because the sun wasn't bright enough. And then, of course, when we end with the cross, the sun is going to be in its full brightness, and we're going to see all of those things. But here's the funny thing, is that because we saw these things in light of ancient paths, it's going to make this, the cross, new. It's going to make it new. There's stability that starts happening in when this starts building, because you're no longer basing everything on you, how good you're doing, how much the Lord has done for you or hadn't done for you. There's paths that have, you know, you could almost say there's ruts in the road that's going to keep you in that path once you are on that path and you see that path. All right, so let's take a break and we shall return.